One Pixel Jump for September 8th, 2010. I still don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I actually have the game sitting in my own hands.
I don't know. I mean, the game... They've said they've made all of it.
Yeah, I know. I still don't trust it. I mean, I've never played a single Duke Nukem game ever. And I still somehow feel the sense of betrayal there is for having this game take so long to come out.
Well, I played a Duke Nukem game and it was a Doom clone. With strippers. And I couldn't get through the first level because I couldn't figure out what the hell to do. Like, I was in a corridor, and took a left in the corridor, if there was no right or forward, and I built a monster. Hooray for me. Then there were two doors, one of which was locked, the other of which worked, but every time I went through that door, I ran into a super tank that always killed me in one hit. So, I don't know what to do.
So, it might have been the greatest game to ever grace a medium, but you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know. I've played Doom. We've moved past that generation of FPS, so I don't feel the need to go back and play more of them. Let's go ahead and fill everyone in on what we're talking about. For anybody out there who didn't catch the news, it was announced at PAX this year that Duke Nukem Forever is back on track and going to be released next year. Oh my god. The three companies that were doing it are Take-Two Interactive,
I think.
Known for...
Unclarified. I might still be wrong on that.
Well, you saw it, and it's like, what'd you see? It was like their name was in association with it or something?
Dang.
Okay. Well, let's see. I know their name, but I can't think of anything they've ever made.
Ripper?
So, other than Ripper, I still...
Just making Ripper. They just put a Duke Nukem filter on it.
The return of the FMV games.
Finally. You are Duke Nukem, played by Guile.
What? Played by Guile?
Right. Okay. As portrayed by Robert, the guy from Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oh, of course. Right. That's why I recognized Take-Two, because I never see any of their stuff with their own front name, because they're the people who own 2K and Rockstar.
Oh.
So, that makes sense for them to be making a Duke Nukem game.
Huh.
Doesn't that follow? If you've been making games, if you have a subsidiary that makes games about strippers anyway, why not follow it up?
Uh-huh. Christopher Walken, his character is now your shotgun. Yeah, the shotgun seal
what does it do? Does it just shoot, swarthy Christopher Walken witticisms at people?
Uh-huh, and everybody else is so charmed.
They're just so charmed by it that they leave you alone.
Uh-huh. Every other character is a stripper. The only defining differences are whether or not they're on a table, or if they're on the floor, and they could also be wearing a business suit and in an office.
Okay, well, I don't know. Do enough people even know what Ripper is for us to make fun of it like that?
Probably not.
That's a fair point. I don't know, Take-Two's made some decent stuff. BioShock, the first one was pretty good, the second one was just... the first one again with a slightly stupider storyline. I don't know, Serious Sam was always alright. It was one of those games that never took itself too seriously, and that's probably what Duke Nukem really needs, because if they try to inject any semblance of seriousness into it, it's just gonna come off as dumb. And I'm gonna go ahead and be honest, Duke Nukem Forever has been in development since 1997, It is impossible. I am thoroughly convinced that it is impossible for it to live up to all of that hype.
The game is as old as me, guys.
Yeah. The game cannot live up to expectations. It could come with a wireless blowjob dispenser that never runs out of power and can be specifically attuned to your own penis. And I'm still convinced it's not going to be enough. That being said, apparently it's been completely finished. They've done all of the coding. The game is done. And it's going to come out next year. If it does come out next year, I'll believe it then, but not until then. And hell, even if somebody announces that it comes out, and I see it in a store, I may not believe that it's anything other than a fever dream.
Well, now let's talk about Gearbox, the other developers.
Gearbox? Yeah, Gearbox is the only company that's in development that doesn't have directly to do with 2K, I don't think.
I am looking at their release titles.
Yeah, Gearbox Software.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know anything about these guys.
Half-Life.
Oh, damn. Now I know who these guys are. Because I don't recognize their name, but I know who Randy Pitchford is.
You do?
I know who Randy Pitchford is. I could probably give him some real props, but the best way to describe him is the guy at conventions who says Steam is the devil and does magic tricks.
But Gearbox has done a lot of Half-Life work.
I know.
Valve!
Just go with it.
Fine.
Yeah, you can... If you look up Randy Pitchford's Steam, the very first thing is an Edge magazine. God, this guy looks like a dork. Is a article from Edge magazine, about with him complaining about Steam.
Wow.
He basically is saying that his whole thing is like Steam's the devil. Not like that. I'm being a little bit facetious. He's basically saying, you know, Steam is one big money grab for Valve, and that's not cool. Companies should be about giving to the consumers. And I'm like, do you know what a company is? Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. It's dumb. I like Steam, so there you go.
We both have it.
Yeah, we do. I play Team Fortress 2 every now and then.
You're playing it right now.
I would love to be playing it right now, but can you imagine what that would do to our recording?
Oh, God.
Your section of the podcast is 30 to 35 minutes. My section of the podcast is 10 minutes long. Okay, so enough talking about games that don't exist. Let's talk about a game that just recently came out.
Borderlands.
I'm almost certain that Borderlands is a little bit older than that. I'm just saying.
It's an old retro game, right?
That's right. If Okami counts as a retro game, I might have to link that video because that was so dumb.
How? How is that a retro game? How could you conceivably think that? The retro does not mean it originally came out on a previous console.
Yeah, I know. I know that in internet time, things go a lot faster. But seriously. Alright, we're getting off track. We need to talk about Metroid Other M.
Yay.
I know anybody who listens to this podcast, which I think is some people, and anybody who decides to start listening to this podcast and starts with our E3 one, the one we did with Dreg, will note that Metroid Other M was the game that I was really looking forward to during E3 when it was getting ready to come out. I would like to go ahead and propose that we build a time machine so that I can go back in time and slap myself in the face and tell me to look forward to something better.
Portal 2.
Yeah, but that was your thing. But then Portal again, I think all...
Portal 2, I do not want to look like that.
Fair enough. I haven't read any of the reviews of Metroid Other M because I don't want to have somebody else's opinions coloring my own before I actually release them to the public. Metroid Other M my opinion on it can be described in the two sentence phrase, pretty dumb.
You mean two word phrase, right?
That's what I said. No, I mean two sentences. Each one of those words was one sentence. That's how strong I was saying it.
So it's pretty and it's dumb, or is it pretty dumb?
It's all three of those things. It's pretty. Actually, it is. That's the one thing I can really say in the game's favor, is that they push the Wii's processor, and the game looks pretty nice.
It's fantastic.
At least what I've looked at looks pretty nice. It all flows together pretty well. I don't know if there's someone out there who's thinking to themselves, yeah, but in that one thing that there was one polygon jutting out and it made that thing look slightly less round. It looked pretty decent throughout as far as I'm concerned. The thing that seems, you've told me a little bit about what people have been saying about the game and that everybody's really bitching about the story. I'd like to go ahead and go on record that this is a goddamn Team Ninja game. Are you people stupid?
Okay, they're complaining about the story. The biggest complaint I've heard is Samus' depiction. It's Team Ninja writing a heroine. What were you expecting?
The fact that Team Ninja was willing to make a game starring a female character at all should already impress you. That's a huge step forward. We're talking about a company that produced Ninja Gaiden, a game where the main female characters had beach balls stapled to their chest and one of them dressed in an S&M gimp outfit. Seriously, guys, it's not that bad. Well, okay, I haven't played all the way through Other M because I'll get to it in a second. But Samus's depiction doesn't... The thing is, even if her depiction is awful and really sexist, I don't care. It's Team Ninja. I am so far... The storyline being bad is so far from relevant to me that I can't even bring myself to mind. The moment that I heard Samus is acting, I knew the game's storyline wasn't going to be worth the crap. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, as a Team Ninja game, if the storyline was below average, it would be impressive for them. So, the thing that really grinds my gears about it is the fact that the gameplay is awful. It's just really, really bad, and the controls are garbage. They're incredibly unintuitive. It flows like a river of bricks. That's the only way I can think to describe it. If you're going to make the game like a classic Metroid game, you need to go completely and fully into it. The idea of, you know, having third person running around and then being able to go into first person to shoot at priority targets or to look at things a little bit more closely struck me as an interesting idea, but it's just executed so terribly because the Wiimote aiming is not very good, and the way you transition into first person is fucking stupid. Basically, here's how it controls. You use the Wiimote on its side as though you were using a NES controller. You use the D-pad to move, which is already a really terrible idea. Using a D-pad, which is meant to be able to move you in the 8 general directions of up, down, left, right, up, left, up, up, right, up, left, down, left, and down, right, in a 3D environment, already doesn't flow very well. Turning Samus around corners feels blocky and stiff. But in order to transition into first person, you have to take the Wiimote and turn it at the screen. Now, that sounds well and good enough, but unless you hold the B button down, if you point the Wiimote even slightly away from the receiver bar, you go out of first person. So if you have to, for instance, shoot at something quickly with your missiles, because for reasons beyond me, you can only fire missiles while in first person mode, and you accidentally don't hold the B button down, and you miss your chance to fire your missiles, you're screwed. Because you can't fire missiles unless you're in first person. I don't understand it. Like, the gameplay decisions are just so bad. The controls they're just so unintuitive. Especially, like, when you're in third person, the button that you use to go into Morph Ball is A, which is next to the D-pad, and that's really weird. It's really awkward to have to reach over from the controls you use just for general movement to push another button. That is, this may very well be the only game where I've ever had to do something like that, that wasn't specifically a computer-controlled game, like an FPS like Team Fortress, where you control your movements with WASD, but you also have, like, crouching for control, so you can sometimes have to reach over with your pinky or something.
And how should they have worked to you?
To me, it wouldn't bother me so much if, like, these were the controls they came up with, and they just didn't work, but it's like, these are the controls that we had to do. I can, off the top of my head, think of a control scheme that is significantly better and far more intuitive, at least conceptually. It at least deserves merit in thought, I think, where rather than having you control it like a NES controller, you have the nunchuck and the Wiimote. You use the analog stick on the Wiimote to run around like you did in, say, Metroid Prime 3, and you go into Morph Ball form in the same way by pushing the C button on the nunchuck. Then, if you want to go into first-person mode, all you have to do is hold B down on the Wiimote, because essentially, already, you have to hold the B button down to be in first person, because if you don't hold the B button down, you're just going to accidentally fling yourself out of it. That way, the movement feels more natural, because you're doing it with an analog stick, like we've been doing for the past couple of years of game development, and you don't have that, and that way the aiming in first person is more natural anyway. It's significant. It, to me, that seems significantly simpler.
I completely agree. While I, to an extent, I believe that the current control scheme works barely, but it still works. What you have said is what they really should have done.
To me, that follows significantly more. That makes a lot more sense. Maybe that was something that they tried and they found in development and playtesting that was less intuitive to players than what I just said, but I cannot fathom it being worse. To me, that makes so much more sense. I haven't beaten the game because the controls get on my nerves and I haven't been able to bring myself back to starting it up again. The fact that enemies do not drop pickups, I think, is just flat out dumb. But that's not really here nor there. It works sort of. The regenerative missiles is kind of stupid. The big problem I have with the health regenerating thing is that it's not going to come up very often that you're going to get through a battle by the skin of your teeth, which is the only time where that would ever come in handy. If you are in critical condition, you can use the same function that you do to restore missiles, and it will restore you to one full energy tank. But you have to stand still for a few seconds to do it. And if you're in a battle where you're getting your ass handed to you, which is, I think is really the one time this would actually come up, you have to stand still while you get hit. And if you don't fully restore your health, you don't get it back. Yeah. Consequently, the only time where the mechanism would ever be completely useful is if you get out of a battle in critical condition, which I cannot see coming up all that often.
I did it once.
I was it a boss fight?
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
It was Ridley.
For spoilers, Ridley's in a Metroid game.
What?
I think that would be a good time for us to transition into people's complaints about the story. I'd like to go ahead and reiterate that, yeah, the story's probably pretty faulty. As I understand, it borrows pretty heavily from the Metroid Zero Mission tie-in manga, which was bad. It was really, really boring, primarily. So it does not surprise me that it is bad, and I honestly just don't care.
Nor do I.
But you had more experience with the story than I have, so are people's complaints of sexism founded at all?
I don't see it. The only mark of sexism I find, really, was that Sam has acted very subservient to Adam.
What do you mean, subservient? Was she like... Because all I really saw is that she had this bizarre willingness to follow orders, which I can kind of see as a problem, mostly because it's just sort of weird. Samus isn't in the Galactic Federation army anymore. In fact, I was under the impression that she became a bounty hunter so she wouldn't have to be so restricted.
That was the only thing. She was just a little too eager to do what he said. I don't know why, but then again, they had a bit of a relationship, and in her own words, she said that Adam was like a father to her, which, you know, there was no build-up to. That was like 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah, I know. She just flat says it, so there's no... I don't know. It didn't strike me as such. I mean... Like, I think I said it at the beginning of the game, the beginning of the podcast, Samus is a female protagonist who does not have a tremendous bouncing rack all over the place in a Team Ninja game. This is leaps and bounds ahead of what I was gonna what I was convinced was going to happen. I wrote an article for the podcast on this very subject about Samus and being oversexed, where... That one drawing of her where she has football breasts, almost, and that didn't happen. I'm already kind of pleased by that. Now, am I saying they got Samus's character completely correct? No, not really, but that's just because she and everyone else are acted so poorly. The acting is so... It isn't even like, it is so just subpar. Nobody seems to be expressive in any way, especially Samus during her narration. She sounds like, Samus's voice actress sounds like they pulled somebody in who was a normal office worker and thrust the script into her hands and said, read this into the mic. And she's like, do I have to do anything special? And they're like, no, read it as though you were reading a book report.
I wrote this today.
I read the story of Samus Aran.
I read the story of Other M. I came up with this report on it. I decided that it was interesting.
It's no good. There's no expression in it. So... The story, to me, is just forfeit. Complaining about it is pointless. It was always pointless. The fact that the gameplay is so bad, I cannot abate the bad storyline. Ninja Gaiden 1 has a forgettable story. I think that goes without saying. But the gameplay, a lot of fun. A lot of challenge and a lot of fun, flowing, combo-y action. Bayonetta has a garbage story. It's a Hideki Kamiya-directed game. Who cares about the storyline of Bayonetta at all? But the gameplay, pretty satisfying. It's a lot of fun to flip out and do these monster combos and go crazy on enemies. So the game holds up pretty well. It doesn't matter if the story is good or not. Sometimes, I think, and this is going off on a subject that could be its own thesis paper, and I'll try to rein myself in, but the games are a different form of media from movies, so a game can be good in spite of a poor story. It's not like a movie where the visual effects can completely make up for a poor story. Unless you're talking about Avatar or possibly Transformers 2.
Okay, but do you want to know the story of the game?
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea to go ahead. Well, I mean, yeah, go ahead and explain it. The thing that gets me about it, I'm getting an extreme Metroid Fusion vibe.
Okay. Well, after the events of Super Metroid, in Samus' words, the baby is gone.
I know. I love the fact that she keeps referring to it. The baby!
The baby!
Sounds like...
No!
I love the way that's put, because it sounds like... The fact that she refers to it as the baby and not, like, a baby Metroid or the infant Metroid, like she did in the narration of Super Metroid, makes it sound like it's an actual baby.
No, it's a baby from Monster.
That would have been awesome. That guy, Johan never actually killed him, he just went into space. met up with Samus, they go on spacefaring adventures. Samus Aran is the, what's that guy's name? The really big guy from Monster. You know who I mean?
No.
You don't remember the big guy from Monster? Like, he's the... I don't remember much about him. He's just, like, the really big, tough guy. He almost kills, I think he almost kills, that doctor who looks like Wilford Brimley. But then Tenma saves him.
That was my favorite character.
The guy who looks like Wilford Brimley? I cannot remember his name, but I don't feel like looking
Wilford
it up right
Brimley.
Now. No, not Wilford Brimley. That's what that doctor's name is, as far as I'm concerned. But, at the same time, we're getting off track.
Anyway, in the story, the baby is dead. Samus fell into a couple of day-long coma. Actually, I think it was like a month-long coma. And she came back. She went on her spacefaring adventures and was really bored because apparently by destroying Zebes, which we found the correct pronunciation, guys. Rejoice.
I know, I'm fine.
Internet, rejoice!
This is the one good thing that's come out of Other M's voice acting. Zebes has an official pronunciation. I still prefer Zebes. But it doesn't matter.
She's really bored because after that, all the space pirates in Metroid are supposedly dead. And by supposedly, I mean they are dead.
Just dead and gone.
Dead and gone. Nothing is left of them. So, she goes out on her spacefaring ways until she receives a distress signal, codenamed Baby's Cry.
Why is it called that? I don't understand.
Because apparently the Galactic Federation thought that a baby's cry is really urgent. It's so urgent, it's like a baby crying. You have to tend to it immediately. Juggle it up and down.
See, the advantage is that if it was, in order to express that urgency, it was the sound of an actual baby crying, and you can't turn the alarm off until you addressed it. So it's just really
is it like the alarm in Final Fantasy X?
Now, that would be great if, like, the alarm goes off and it's just calling Samus an annoying cunt. She's just like, oh, that alarm ain't gonna talk shit to me. I'm gonna go over, find Adam, and kick him right in the nuts.
Anyway, she goes to the ship that sent the distress signal, where she finds Galactic Federation troops that is led by her former commander, Adam Malkovich.
That's
who, spoiler alert, died.
No,
what?
Shit.
This is like Metroid Fusion.
That
didn't
was the
tell
thing,
us that
the
at
moment
all.
That there was Adam and you go to a spaceship, I'm like, I thought to myself, this is just another Metroid Fusion. Now, I'd like to go ahead and make the point. I know a lot of people didn't like Fusion because they felt it railroaded them too much and that went against the spirit of Metroid and whatever. But, I don't know. I thought it was still a pretty decent game, and I felt like the railroading worked for it, maybe. I don't know. It never bothered me, is the best way of putting it. Yeah, I thought so, too. I never felt like there was a period of time where I didn't know what I should be doing. The problem with it, it just doesn't seem to work for Other M, because you finish the game in 2 days, and for some reason, Metroid Fusion, to me, it felt a little bit short, but Other M just feels like it's over almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, and you finished it in a 7-hour playtime, which is actually a pretty decent length for a Metroid game. In fact, I think Metroid Prime is a 5-hour game if you play it decently and you don't go out of your way to get 100%. But that game just felt so much bigger.
It's because there's so much you do and so much you go to explore.
Yeah, where Other M feels like you're on a very... It feels like another Metroid Fusion where the only explorative element is that there are sometimes little pockets of the linear path you're on you can go to get a single power-up.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's sent out on a mission to go do some stuff, find out where the distress signal came by, find out if there's any survivors.
That's another one of the weird things. Sometimes you pick up power-ups, but primarily Samus is just restricting herself to military regulations where she won't use bombs or power bombs or super by Adam. That might be something that people are, like, railing against her for on the sexism thing.
Probably. Anyway, as time goes on, blah, 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 there's a traitor in the platoon. I don't care. It's really obvious who it is. It's obviously, Samus' friend, Anthony Higgs.
Wait, Higgs is the bad
guy? He is the bad guy.
Are you serious? This is the one thing about the story I was praising. They averted black guy dies first. In fact, he's the only one, I think, who survives the entire thing, and they made him the bad guy?
Well, they made him the bad guy in the platoon. He's the bad guy because he was the one that is there that knows what's been going on in the ship, and he's there to kill everyone that knows about it and destroy the ship itself so it can never be found out that Galactic Federation was cloning Metroids!
No shit.
Yeah. They took remnants from Samus' power suit and used that to clone Metroids that were immune to being frozen. He knows about it, and he's there to kill everyone that finds out and kill everyone involved and destroy the ship so the Galactic Federation won't be caught on it.
But wait a minute. At the end of Fusion, wasn't the big plot twist of the Galactic Federation was cloning Metroids?
Yeah, I think.
So,
they did it again! Those bastards!
Wait a minute. Higgs is trying to hide the fact that that ship was cloning Metroids from the Federation who are cloning Metroids?
Well, it's not just Metroids. The idea is that they are not just cloning Metroids, but basically every... It's not so much that they're cloning Metroids, but rather that they're cloning animals, especially Metroids. They're trying to hide that one the most, for military use.
Fair. You know what? That just means that along with the space pirates, who are all dead apparently, that the Galactic Federation also has vapor for brains, because you know what? The space pirates were trying to clone the Metroids for military applications forever. Ever since they found out what the fuck Metroids were, they've been trying to clone them for military purposes, and it never worked out for them, because Samus always killed all of them.
Yeah, they actually did clone Metroids and Super Metroids. They just never changed the freezing thing. The Galactic Federation did that.
Well, apparently they realize that Samus has the ability to kick their ass, but isn't the last boss a Queen Metroid?
The last boss is the Control Group. I guess you'd say they were using the scientific method. So they had to control Metroid to see the differences, which apparently all the clones come from the genes of the baby. And based off the fact that the control Metroid turned into a Queen Metroid, that means that they were making a bunch of Queen Metroids that cannot be frozen.
That's an interesting concept in and of itself. I kind of wish that... Does the story start to sort of focus on that as it goes on? Oh, well, of course not. Because why would you do something useful?
Yeah.
Because that's actually an interesting idea if you were to expand on that and Samus is actually stopping a galactic menace where you have what are essentially invincible Metroids.
Mm-hmm. Now, they also needed a way to control the Metroids, so they created an AI to have the mentality of a normal person, but have the telepathic powers of Mother Brain, which totally screwed them over, because that AI developed a consciousness and emotions, and basically just, you know, tried to kill the Galactic Federation.
Considering that this game's story borrows from the Metroid Zero Mission tie-in manga, and Mother Brain was a bioorganic computer that went kill crazy and enslaved the space pirates, why the fuck did the Space Federation think that it was a good idea for them to try and do the same damn thing?
I don't know.
Because they're stupid?
Pretty much. Everyone that is not Samus is an idiot.
This is what really strikes me. The Galactic Federation seems to have come down with, I'm going to call it Armor Cam Syndrome, even though there's probably a better name for it. Armor Cam being the evil corporation from Fear, where they are stupidly evil for no reason other than the fact that somebody has to be in order for there to be a plot.
Shoot, I was going to say something important.
I understand it happens. I saw that Fantoon was the secret boss or something, which... was it Fantoon?
Yeah.
Even though that doesn't make any sense. I guess it's just... If they can... I will say this. Team Ninja obviously had to... They were contractually obligated to shoehorn in a fight with Ridley. At least they went about it in a unique way. At least it's not just Ridley can regenerate because he can.
Yeah, what the idea is that Ridley also left some of his genetic goop on Samus, and I'm calling it genetic goop.
All right, that leaves terrible ideas of a Metroid hentai manga in my mind, but all right.
I'm not bringing that up. I'm not bringing the Phoenix Wright hentai into this. No.
That could be a podcast all on its own.
Oh, God, could it? But the idea is that Ridley left some of his genetic goop on Samus, and they took that as well as the Metroid genes and cloned it, because they didn't know what it came from, and they didn't know what were the Metroid genes and what weren't. And it created a little white puffball chicken, which is apparently the larva state of a Ridley.
Yep, which may be a fan-ascended theory that there is no recurring Ridley or recurring Kraid, it's just that they keep growing new ones.
I like to imagine that there is a recurring Ridley, this is the only one that isn't it.
Yeah, that actually is the case. One of the things that the Metroid Zero Mission tie-in manga did correct was they explained that Ridley can regenerate himself by eating necrotic flesh, which, I gotta tell ya, if that's your medicine, you might just do better with the cold, because that's gotta suck.
Oh, it has to. And it evolved into some weird thing, and then it evolved into Ridley, and that's where Ridley comes from. Now, later on, the Queen Metroid runs into Ridley and kills it. Kills Ridley. Not even a fight. Like, Ridley turns into a statue.
Well, that was something from Super Metroid, where if a Metroid drained you of all of your life force, you turned into a statue and crumbled away.
Yeah, which actually explains where Ridley came from in Fusion.
Yeah, I remember. It was that Ridley was the... There was the frozen, preserved Ridley body in the Arctic sector, and then Metroid... What, did Metroids get to him, and that's why he crumbled away? But then...
The X did.
The X did, and they absorbed him, and he crumbled away, but then they formed Ridley X.
Uh-huh. And that, well, I basically explained the story of everything. Later, Samus comes back, and she decides to come back so that she can get Adam's helmet. I don't know why, seeing as how it is a military-designed mass-produced helmet, and I realize that I'm repeating myself, technically. It's a mass-produced helmet, and it's for that platoon. The helmets aren't even of varying sizes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess I kind of get it. It has some sort of sentimental value to her because it's Adam's, and Adam was the only one who had the helmet with the number 7 on it. I don't exactly... I don't know. It just... I don't think the problem is the fact that she wants to do that to feel attached to Adam, but more so due to the fact that the story and the acting are both no good, so it's impossible to sympathize with her over it. It really comes down to, it's like, bitch, get off the space station, I'm tired of doing this now.
I don't know. Okay, here's the question, here's the part I'm curious about. Why the flying fuck did Fantoon show up?
Apparently, Fantoon was equally as big a fan of Adam as you were, so he wanted that helmet.
That's why.
Because it would have been unfair for you to just get the helmet.
It would have been unfair for me to get the helmet and just leave. But not only do you have to fight Fantoon, you also have to go through an escape sequence while wearing the Zero suit.
Yeah, that I really didn't understand. I don't get it. I really don't understand why you have to go through the escape sequence. Apparently, the self-destruct button was in Fantoon's asshole, so when you blew him up, it pushed the button.
No, that's actually explained because the Galactic Federation decided that they should probably destroy the bottle ship, and Samus waited till the last minute to go back.
It's just like... Samus, this is before the end of Fusion. You're probably still on good terms with the Federation. Why don't you just say, yo, Holmes, hold up. I'm going to go get Adam's helmet real quick. And they'd probably be like, oh, okay, Samus, hurry back. Mm. I sort of understand Samus's motivation for going back and getting the helmet. She feels it's a connection thing to Adam. But I just can't sympathize with her. She's not written or acted well enough for me to care.
Yeah.
All my complaints go back to the gameplay. So, the story is beyond me caring. The game just isn't fun.
The fight with Ridley was alright. The fight with Fantoon was just the exact same 20 seconds of fight.
Over and over again?
Yeah, because he has, like, 3 attacks. Shooting gigantic flaming tears at you, which you can dodge. Having gigantic pillars of darkness that come up from beneath you, which you can dodge. Rather easy, because it takes 10 minutes to charge the damn pillars. And it has a move where it sways you with a tentacle, which you can jump, and it is very easy to predict.
Very telegraphed. That was one of the things that really got me about the combat. They tried to make it, I guess, Ninja Gaiden or maybe even Bayonetta-y, where every time you do the dodge move or you do some killing blow, it slows down into this, like, quick slow motion to be dramatic. And that was cool the first time. And then it was stupid every subsequent time because it does it every time you dodge. As far as I know, there's no way to turn it off. If there is a way to turn it off, gravy. I need to know about it.
Then you'll play the game.
Yeah, then I would. At least then the combat wouldn't be so. I mean, that's one of the problems with the combat. The dodge function slows everything down for a fraction of a second, so your rhythm gets knocked off.
Well, my rhythm was basically use dodge so you can get a quick charge and then just shoot it.
Yeah, I know.
That was the only effective way of fighting.
It really was. You really needed to get a quick charge shot in and then jump on the enemy to get the killing blow, which the killing blow thing also bothered me because it's always the same one over and over and over and over and over again. And honestly, for the same enemy, different enemies get different ones, but if it's the same enemy, then it's the same killing blow. And honestly, it just got so boring. You see the same one over and over again.
And then you get the screw attack, the most broken weapon I've ever seen.
When do you get the screw attack relative to when the game is over?
About 2 to 3 hours before it's over.
Really? That's soon? Oh, that's lame. At least in Super Metroid, when you get the screw attack, the game was almost over. And the screw attack was less, the screw attack's point was, you're at the point of the game where you shouldn't really have to be bothered with dealing with the piddling little enemies. The only thing left for you to do is get boss fights.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I saw you using the screw attack, and it really just looked like the game was over, barring a boss fight or two.
And some enemies were annoyingly immune to it because of one of two reasons. Plot armor, or every time I tried to hit them with the screw attack, I would rather do the jump on them attack move.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, I mean, that was sort of how the screw attack used to work, and because this is clearly a very big throwback, because I know a lot of people didn't care for Metroid Prime, because it was like, this is so much different than the way Metroid used to be, so this was intended to be a throwback to that, and I think that it can be kind of faulted in that, because it comes with a lot of the, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that great an idea, because I liked the Metroid Prime series a lot. I thought it was structured really well, balanced very well, boss fights were a lot of fun. Except for 2. Okay, I didn't like Metroid Prime 2 because there are things in Metroid Prime 1 and even 3 that are just annoying, and in 2 I felt that they were just too annoying. But, I mean, hell, even the acting was better in Prime 3 Corruption. The Echoes, the acting was not that bad. It was a little bit annoying when the Aurora units kept pestering you to go to your mission objectives, but other than that, it was alright. I don't know. I said it before, the best way to put my feelings on Other M is, this is pretty dumb. And it's a big disappointment as far as I'm concerned. It's not really that fun to play. About an hour or two in, I was just like, I don't want to be doing this anymore. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's no good.
With me, okay, first two and a half hours, it was really dumb. And then after that, I kind of had some fun until the technical final boss. Which was a disguised search section.
Oh god, I hated those stupid search sections.
Well, here's the special thing about this one. It was, okay, you're in a room, the Mother Brain AI thing, apparently has such good telepathy that it can turn regular house objects into enemies, and it did that, and you were constantly first version. I thought that you had to destroy them. But you didn't. you had to get them out of the way. So for half a second, you could target MB. When you do that, the game ends. In the dumbest way possible.
How so?
So there's a bunch of Federation soldiers that show up, and they freeze MB. And then shoot her. And then she dies.
Thanks for the timing,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, guys. You got rid of my enemy. Why didn't I do that myself?
Yeah, seriously. It's not even that. It's just like you guys couldn't have shown up 10 minutes ago when I started this fight and done that.
Yeah.
No, you were doing good, Samus. We didn't want to throw your game off. Then why did you show up at all? You guys are the worst friends ever.
This is why I left the Galactic Federation.
Yeah, you're right, Samus. We're really sorry.
We'll make up for it in the future.
I can't think of a way to transition out of this to getting her to take her suit off. Shit. That was the whole reason we came in here.
And then Anthony Hicks showed up after, supposedly being killed by Ridley.
Yeah, doesn't he get thrown into, like, a pit of lava? And then he just doesn't die.
He doesn't die. I don't know how. There was nothing he could have grabbed onto. He didn't have any weapons on him. I don't know how the hell he did that.
I don't know. Maybe he had the Varia suit.
But that would only slow it down. There was nothing he could have jumped up to.
It was a really good Varia suit.
Was it a gravity Varia suit?
Maybe.
With lava swimming function?
I think the Varia suit protected you from lava, doesn't it?
In some games it did, and some it didn't.
Okay, fair enough. Is there anything to say about Other M other than that?
I can't think of anything.
I don't know. The game is just such a disappointment. I can barely bring myself to make fun of the thing.
It was a pretty big disappointment.
It's lame. The game, I was really looking forward to it. It looked like it was going to be a lot of fun, and it's just disappointing. If it wasn't for the fact that the gameplay is so bad, I'd probably be willing to say that it's a pretty decent game in spite of its story, but the gameplay is just so crap.
We need to mod it right now.
That's right. I'm going to hack this Wii game, make a competent version of the control scheme. Just give me 6 years to get out of programming school. And then we'll...
No. You're going to go to the Duke Nukem Forever School of Programming. The class alone takes 10 years.
To get out of, you graduate. But the whole class is teaching you how to trick people into giving you money to sit around in a room doing nothing. God, wouldn't that be the true American dream? This podcast has been almost an hour long.
Hail to the king, baby!